And we are back. Yay! Everything is ready. Julia, Gabriel, you may start making love right now. Feel free. We're not looking at you or anything, right? It's perfectly normal to see people hanging around the woods eating popcorn and watching the two of you while drinking wine and champagne, right? No? Okay. So anyway, so Julia, Julia has the blanket. Gabriel spreads it out carefully. And then, voila, there's a full moon. Julia, you're here. I'm here. Let's go, baby. So, Gabriel tells Julia that he likes her dress. So, ooh, look at that, Julia. Fancy dress. It's not like she prepared for anything, right? But good to know that she looks beautiful. Anyway, so he's taking time to admire the beauty of his wife. Because, my God, she's gorgeous. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. So he's checking out her cheekbones, her lips, her large expressive eyes. Wow, he must have really good vision, right? Like Batman or something. Anyway, so he's looking at her, and then they start kissing. Ooh, ardent kisses. He's telling her, I love you. I want you. Now, Julia. Which we already knew, but whatever.
Okay.
So then Julia makes a really good question. Gabriel, what if someone sees us? Now open your mouth, because I'm coming. And then she starts kissing him again. Which I thought, well, that's funny. Like, wait, what if they see us? Never mind, keep going. No, I'm really serious about this. What if someone sees us? No, take off my blouse. Go. No. Talking while undressing. No. Anyway, so Gabriel tells her that the woods are private. That's good to know, right? We don't want to be in a, like, Central Park or something.
How can be the woods private?
I guess because he owns that area or something. Remember that there was a neighbor who wanted to buy.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it could be private. But yeah, okay. I think maybe he bought the area or everything, but everyone could see.
That's true.
Well, but it's dark. Is it at night? Maybe if they find someone there, it's because maybe they are hunting or something.
Well, yeah, but I doubt people hunt at night.
I don't know. I'm just curious.
Oh, no, Nay. She says, that's a good leading line. I love your dress. Now take it off. Okay.
Yeah.
Very beautiful. I will examine, your dress later on. Now take it off. Anyway. Oh, that reminds me. I was watching a film yesterday. And there was a guy fighting. And I was like, too many layers. Take off the shirt. And he took off his shirt. And there he was fighting. Not enough action. Put something on, and he puts on like gasoline or something. I don't know, but it was shiny, and I was like, ooh, now take off your pants. He didn't. Aw. But, whatever. Shirtless fighting, it's hot, so that's good. Okay, and Monica says, I think it's awkward to a guy to say, I love your dress. I'm tempted to say, you can buy yours. What? I love your dress. I'm tempted to say, you can buy yours at H&M. Oh, okay. We're only $14.99.
Okay.
I got my Sartorget, right? It's it's French.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. That would be a funny commercial, though. So maybe some advertising company can do that. And Jenny's saying, the guy took off his pants to fight? I was multitasking. I missed something. LOL. No, I was watching a film and I was just screaming to the screen like, take off the shirt! And he took it off and then I was like, too many layers! And then he put on like oil or something and he was all oily fighting. And then I kept screaming, take off your pants! But he didn't listen to me then. He was just fighting with the pants on. So, aww. But wouldn't that be funny if he did? Like, oh my god. I doubt any guy would fight a naked guy. I don't know. I just think they probably wouldn't do it. So maybe in the next film they should do that. the guard takes off everything and they all go running. And it's like, thank you. Lovely view. I love it. So, yeah.
Well, Monica says they don't love our dresses.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's like they love our dress, like the dress. Maybe they love how the dress looks on us. Maybe in a sexy way or in a beautiful way.
Maybe. And Jen is wondering, what the heck was I watching? I need to watch now. I was watching The Transporter. I don't know which number it was. But there was a fight scene, so yeah. And you should all watch Mindhunter. Ooh, okay, I will check it out. Yeah, Monica says, I said H&M because I don't know your source. Okay, yeah, and we don't know your source, I'm sorry. So, interesting. Okay, so let's go back to Gabriel and Julia and the dress. It's beautiful. Take it off, right? So, anyway, so there it's Gabriel touching her dimples. Oh, he loves those dimples. And then he tells her, right, just so you know, Julia. Wait, where am I? Oh, yeah, so Julia's like, what if someone sees us? And he's like, the woods are private. Don't worry about it, baby. And it's dark. Right? Where have I heard that before? Don't worry, I got this. So, why do I hear myself? Okay. Anyway, so he touches her dimples and then he starts lighting off the dress. Ooh, and unfastens her bra. And Julia thinks this is hysterical. She tells him, you're very good at that. And Gabriel's like, what? Removing bras. Oh, you're so good at that. Very, very good. I give you a 10 as a score or something. And Gabriel is not very happy about that because he feels like maybe she's reproaching him about his past. How he used to have lots and lots of partners. Right? But Julia's like, no, 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 darling. I'm just saying that you're really good at that. I'm the beneficiary of all of this beautiful talent. So, nothing to worry about. Ha, ha, ha. Right? Anyway, so, Gabriel tells her that he appreciates her lingerie, which Julia, in case you're wondering, she's wearing, it's like, what is it? It's lace, but it's see-through, a black lace bra. Ooh, but it's transparent. So Gabriel tells her that although he appreciates her lingerie, he prefers her naked. Ooh. And again, Julia is worried about making love outside in the woods where we don't really know if it's really private or not because we didn't see a keep out sign or anything. So, yeah, good question. You know, if it's in the daytime, you still have to be careful because now it's satellites. They can take pictures and now we have drones and those can fly around and you don't know if they have a camera that can film in the night or anything. So, anyway. Just something to think about. Anyway, so Gabriel tells her that... Julia tells him that she keeps expecting someone to show up out of nowhere. And Gabriel tells her that, no, look at me. And this is one of my favorite quotes. He tells her, there is no one here but us. And what I see is breathtaking. Aww. See, but this is in 2011, before drones, so I don't know about now. I think I would...
Okay, I'm back.
Oh, okay. I've been talking and it's like nothing. Silence.
No, yeah, I think it's my internet connection.
Oh, okay, okay.
I was like, hello.
Hello, okay.
And nothing, and it's okay.
Okay, so I was I was just thinking, you know, it's funny that Julia tells him, I keep expecting someone to interrupt us. And he's like, no, there's no one here. Don't worry, baby. And I keep thinking, well, that was in 2011. It's 2018. Now, we have drones. We have crazy people who hang in the woods with, you know, those goggles that can see in the night. And you don't know. You know, especially with the drones now, you can put cameras on those and just fly them around. And then peekaboo, I see you, maybe. So yeah, I don't think it's such a good idea to make love outside in the woods without a tent, you know? So maybe next time, Gabriel, you should hire someone to make a tent. Or better yet, make the tent yourself, Gabriel. Yay! That way you're sure no one put any hidden cameras or anything. Oh, Jen says that Mog just appeared to massage her tired feet. Oh, and he said to say hello. Hello, Jen. Hello, Mog. He's funny. Oh, okay. Good reminder, Jen. She says this is a fictional world, and in fictional worlds, drones don't exist. True. Maybe they exist in a man in a black suit. Okay, so let's go back. We're in the wrong story. This is not a suspense story where we have spies, right? I think. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah. So Gabriel tells her again that not to worry, everything will be fine, and what I see is breathtaking. Oh my. Okay. So then he starts touching, massaging her breasts, and then he goes to cover her hips with his gigantic hands. And he tells her that he will cover her. And Julia wants to know, with what? The blanket? And he tells her, with my body. Even if someone were to stumble upon us, I won't let
That's
some.
a good solution.
Yeah. Are we gonna stay on the floor forever, Gabriel? Maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, so he tells her, even if someone were to stumble upon us, I won't let anyone see you. I promise. Oh, he will cover her. And don't get mad and don't roll your eyes at me. But when he said, I will cover you, I promise, it reminded me of Paul. Because. Yeah, remember back in Gabriel's Inferno? Was it chapter 11 when they're at Starbucks and there's Julia wearing her cotton bra and a purple sweater and she moves and part of her shoulder shows and he's worried that people will look at it or anything. So he covers her shoulder with a sweater and I was like, oh my God, I love you, Paul, marry me. So yeah, Gabriel covering Julia reminded me of Paul. So. Yeah. Oh, Jen says Paul would provide impressive coverage. Heck yeah. He's a big guy. So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Turns out I'm still not over Paul. Yes, Monica, I still remember the chapter. I love that. Wait, what, Noni? She says Paul would talk disapprovingly. I don't know. We need to know more about Paul. The world needs more Paul, boss. We need more Paul. Hey, I need more Paul. I'm going crazy here.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. We need more about Paul, but especially Betty.
Yeah. Like, what was I doing during the break? Oh, nothing, just listening to Paul's lines in the whole, Inferno and Rapture over and over again. So, yeah.
Yeah, Monica, she remembers even the number of the chapter.
Yes.
She's that obsessed.
Yes, and I think Paul is scared of the day when that story will be written.
She can quote almost everything from Paul, too.
Yes. By the way, I go to sleep listening to Paul. I made this little thingy where you could hear him saying stuff. It's like, oh, it's perfect. So, yeah. A bit obsessed. Maybe a little.
Well, okay. I
Yes.
love Paul, but I want to continue.
Okay. And Jen says the specter of Paul thing lingers. Yes, it does. It's always in my mind. Okay. So, let's go back to Gabriel. Okay. Alrighty then, so there he is, Gabriel, took her offering lips, Julia's offering lips, and slowly kisses her and peels off the bra very, very slowly. Ooh. And he kisses her deeply. Oh, God. Exploring her mouth before tugging her panties down. Oh, my God. They're going down. Oh, so beautiful. Slowly, Gabriel. Slowly. And now that she was naked. Oh, man. That reminds me of a song. I want a man with a slow hand. No? Anyway. So, yeah. It just kind of reminded me of that. Anyway. So, this is a favorite quote from Judith. So, thank you, Judith. And the favorite quote is from Julia. Well, she's there, naked, with her professor. She starts praying. And she says, "Oh, gods of all orchard sex," she thought, "please, don't let anyone interrupt us." Amen. That's all of us. Like, please don't interrupt us. Can you imagine? Yes, yes. What are you guys doing over there? Nothing. I tripped, and this kind gentleman was helping me get up. That's it. Nothing to see here. So, yeah. Anyway, so Gabriel, oh, God. So Julia starts removing Gabriel's shirt, playing with his, her fingers playing with a few strands of his chest hair. Okay. I don't know. I think I would make him shave the chest hair. I'm a bad person. I know. Bye, Casey. I'm sorry you can stay. Would you make him shave or would you let him keep his chest hair?
Yeah. Okay.
No, which one would you do?
What?
Would you make him shave the chest hair or leave it? Jen says, keep it. Okay, so
what would you do?
I think I will make him shave it. Maybe.
I prefer keep it.
Okay, keep it. Jen says, "The older I am, the more I like it, as long as it's not obnoxious." No, yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. It's like, oh my God, I'm sleeping with a bear. He's so hairy. Get it? No. Okay. So okay. Julia is playing with his chest hair. Oh, yes. And then her hands go sliding into his abdominal muscles. Ooh. And then unbuckles the belt. Hey, yeah. We're going downtown. Yes. On Chatter territory. Julia's like, this is mine. Meanwhile, Twitch is like, yes. Take me. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, and Jen says, when I was younger, he would have to shave it. See, but Gabriel, now it's like, but now you're sophisticated, like wine, and you like my chest hair.
Well, I mean, he's like a bear. No, I don't like them.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm a little bit, it's okay. It's a normal, something portable.
Maybe in the winter, it would be fine. Like, I'm cold. Come here, polar bear.
That is a man thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like a macho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
but
so...
I don't like a bear. A bear. No.
See, this makes me wonder, like, Paul, I forgot to look at your chest. Take off the shirt! That would have to be in the next story. Oh.
Find excuse to bring Paul.
Yeah.
And I love Paul. I love him. But I wanted to finish the chapter.
Okay. So, this is Gabriel's sex scene. Oh. And Jen says, there's a Goldilocks zone. It has to be just right. Yes. You don't want it too hairy or... Yeah. Okay. So, let's go back. So, then, there they are. Julia and Gabriel together. Ooh, naked. So they're both naked and wrapped in each other's arms, thank God. And Julia breathes a sigh of relief. Ah, well, she just breathed out a sigh. Okay, and then Gabriel tells her that it's a good thing that it's warm tonight. Heck yeah. And he says, "We only brought one blanket. Maybe you should have planned a bit more, Gabriel. Maybe we needed two blankets. Just maybe."
Oh.
So anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so Julia lowers herself to the ground. And now the blessedness appears. She's ready for her happy meal. Yeah. We're all ready for the happy meal. Thank you very much. Yes. Na 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 na. I'm loving it. No? Maybe. Okay. So, alrighty then. So, his eyes are there. He's naked. His blue eyes are boring into hers. And then he starts whispering. "To the nuptial bore, I led her blushing like morn. Like the morn. All heaven and happy constellation on the hoar." Which reminded me, Constellation, Jack. Kathleen, no. Anyway. And then Julia whispers, "Paradise Lost." Ooh, again, this, I knew one day she would end up knowing what he's quoting. So, yeah, it's Paradise Lost. "But in this place, I can only think of Paradise Found." Yeah. Now, give her the Twitchinator. I mean, Mr. Twitchy. And then, Gabriel makes a really interesting comment, which I was thinking about. Like, yeah, I was thinking about this too, Mr. What happened? Somebody didn't take my suggestions. He tells her, and this is my favorite quote. We should have been married here. We should have made love here for the first time. Aww. True.
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful place that they really should have made love there. Julia.
Yes, I think that too.
Can you imagine?
Maybe. I don't know.
Can you imagine, like,
you know, like the first time, like a marriage? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine, like, "Julia, I love you. I love you too. I take you to be my wife." Oh, and then they were, like, together. "I presented you, Mr. and Mrs. Emerson." Oh, da, 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 da. Like, oh, beautiful wedding. La, la, la. And then they're dancing underneath the stars with the crickets. And then it's like, it's 3 a.m, you guys. You have to leave. Why? Because Gabriel and Julia are gonna make love in the woods.
I think the orchard is good and it's a romantic place. It means something important to them. But I will be scared if I listen noises, because you know it's a wood, and then you have like snakes or
right.
Other kind of insects or animals around. So
yeah.
I will be like scared.
Or ants. You know, you destroy their house. Yeah. Jennifer says that they would have to wait a long time, you know, if they were going to make love in the woods after the wedding. In the woods, you know, the reception there. She says they will have to wait a long, way too long. Gabriel would kersplode. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't think. I mean, it's a big forest. Maybe they have like a special area they could go. But if they wanted to make love right there in the center of the woods, like right now, then, yeah, not a good idea.
So,
yeah. Anyway, so let's go back to the story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Julia runs her fingers through his hair and she tells him, "We're here now." And again, this is one of my favorite quotes. He tells her, "This is where I discovered true beauty." You're talking about Julia, right? Not the trees? Just curious. Okay. Jennifer says, "The orchard is only for the two of them. It's better that they didn't marry there. It's their private space. Their paradise on earth." Oh, true. Otherwise, everyone else would start camping there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, again, here we are with Gabriel. He kisses her. Thank God. Let's start moving, mister. So, he kisses her. Again, gently exploring her body, and Julia reciprocates with passion, with kindness. She's ready. She's burning for her Gabriel, her Dante. And soon, they make a love. And turns out that even though they've been married for 6 months, their coupling was still sweet, and it was not boring. Aww. And soon the speech melted into motion, touch, physical bliss. Ah, twitchy, meet the blessedness again. It's been too many nights,
yeah.
Four long nights without the love.
Mom, you know, the first months are really, really, really sweet and passionate, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to enjoy the moment.
Yes. So yeah, look at that. Unfortunately, we didn't get, well, they stopped talking, so that's good. I guess she sent him a memo, like, maybe lessen the talking, less talking and more touching, Gabriel, how you can improve your lovemaking skills or something. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, so yes, they're making love, and Julia knows his wife. He knows how to arouse her. He knows how to excite her. He knows she's impatient, of course. And he knows when she releases. Well, heck yeah, you would think he would know that after 6 months. Anyway, so he's in love with her, and oh, how beautiful. They make love in the night air, surrounded by darkness and greenness of life. And I thought this was cute. That the clearing, the old apple trees that had observed their chaste love in the past politely averted their gaze. Only the old trees, which means the new trees are like, oh, look at that! Pay for you! They're like, no,
yeah.
We're not polite, we're gonna watch. Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, pervert trees. Jen says poetry. Oh, yes. Only the elderly trees, apparently. Okay, so Judy's favorite quote is here. And it's from Gabriel. I have something for you. What? Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, a gift.
Wait, this reminded me. Don't get mad. But when he tells her, I have something for you, I was like, if she accepts the gift, does that mean she's like Krista? Or should she just go like, no, Gabriel, don't give me any gifts because I don't need any more gifts. No?
Okay.
It reminded me of Krista because Krista would get gifts, but she would get them before, right? And Gabriel is giving her one afterwards. But anyway. Alrighty then. So Julia is curious. What's the gift? Well, it turns out that Gabriel gives Julia a beautiful necklace with three individual rings, three charms. One is a heart, another is an apple, and another one is a book. Oh, Jen says, but...
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Krista. Jennifer says, Krista demands gifts. Krista demands gifts. Julia receives them unsolicited. So that's the difference between the two of them. Okay. Alrighty then. So again, let's go back to the gift. I don't know. I could go on about how Krista is not so bad in my eyes. But then, you know, we're never going to finish this chapter. So, okay. So back to Gabriel's gift to Julia. He gives her the necklace and Julia's like, oh my God, it's beautiful. And that's a favorite quote from Judith. And the other favorite quote from Judith is this. It came from London. The rings and charms are silver, except for the apple, which is made of gold. It represents when we met. Aww. And what's in the little book? The word Dante. Dante's name is engraved in it. Aww. That is a really cute necklace. You know, the book... Dante, the apple when they were first met, and a heart because she has his heart. Really, I wonder if the boss finds the jewelry and he's like, ah, I will use this, or he makes it up. And if he makes it up, maybe he should have like a jewelry collection or something. The SR collection. Right? No?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my god,
yeah,
I have Julia's and Gabriel's necklace from the orchard and a diamond earrings. Wait, is she still wearing the earrings? We haven't heard a single thing about the earrings. Let's suppose she's still wearing them. So, okay, so yes, oh, the earrings. So yeah, and then Julia wants to know, wait, did I forget something? Because I checked my calendar and it didn't say anything. But Gabriel's like, no, no, darling. I just enjoy giving you things. Oh, okay. and then things get a little awkward. Which I was like, I was not expecting this. I was not expecting this at all. So, after he puts the flashback away and he puts on the necklace on Julia's neck and, oh, you look beautiful. Thank you, darling. Then he goes and puts his hand on her beautiful abdomen. He kisses it and then he tells her, and this is my partner's favorite quote. Partner, do you want to read your favorite quote?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to read it?
No.
Okay.
Go.
So, my partner's favorite quote is, I want to plan my child here. Wait, what?
Yeah, me too. Gabriel, let's do it.
What you talking about?
I want you to do that.
What you talking about, Willis? I mean, Gabriel. Where did this talk come from, right? Coughing, looking for water or anything. And even the apple trees are like, la 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 la.
I love you.
I know nothing.
Yeah.
Bye, Noni. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye, Noni. So, yeah, Julia's like, wait, what? And he tells her, I like to have a child with you. Since when? It's soon. Are you crazy? We've only been married for 6 months and you want to have a baby?
So you're putting that.
It's a lot of pressure, man.
Those are your words.
Huh? That would be my reaction. You know, I would
that's
be like,
reaction.
My reaction would have been like, would you look at the time? I have to go. I have to work on my papers and stuff. But Julia, you're going to get lost in the woods. It's okay. I need a walk, you know, exercise. It's good for you. Thanks. You know what? Just give me the flashlight. I will find my way around the house and stuff. And yeah, you stay there and thanks. And then after that, I will never have sex with Gabriel again. Aww. Can't trust that Twitchy. He's making plans already. What's wrong with him? So yeah. Jennifer says at her age, I would have responded the same way. I could totally relate to Julia here. And I totally agree. And Monica says, yeah, plenty of time. Yeah, but I thought we had agreed before the marriage that, you know, her PhD program is going
to
take her 6 years.
I want to find my child here right now because in 9 months I want you to be pregnant. No, I mean, he's just expressing, he's just saying that he wants a child with her. But that's not necessarily means that it has to be, like, right now.
You know, maybe it's the...
I'm with Gabriel.
I feel just like this was not the time to bring up the baby talk. We just had, like, I was on an orgasm. On cloud nine, yes, sex in the orchard is awesome. I want to have a baby. You killed me. How do I say no without sounding like a bitch? Like, it's a really nice suggestion. Maybe in 9 years... we can talk about that.
9 years?
Well,
oh
my
God,
idea is 10 years. 10 years, you can do whatever you want. You could travel. You can focus on work. You can do whatever you want. And then after those 10 years, then you go like, it was a good life. Let's have a baby. Great. But first, let's check our genes, family history, what's going on, who has what, just so we know what chances our kid has of being healthy. I'm neurotic like that. Take your vitamins, Gabriel. Maybe. I think it's too quick, too quickly, too soon to talk about babies, but yeah. So Gabriel tells her that they never know how much time they have, which is true. You never really know when you're gonna, how long you're gonna live. You think you're gonna live forever, and then things happen, and then you're like, oh, I could have died today. Interesting. Okay.
Well, yeah, he has a point. He has a
Yes.
point. I'm with him.
Okay, yes, but then you never know if you're really gonna die tomorrow, and then you make a decision, and then you screw up, and you're like, oh crap. You look back 5 years back, and you're like, I had a lot of time, and I screwed up by making this decision. Babies are a big responsibility. It's not just making a baby, it's caring for a life now. It's baby comes first, everyone else comes second. So I'm with Julia. I'm not ready for that commitment. So, yeah. But Gabriel, again, he's thinking about Beatrice and Dante. He tells her that Dante lost Beatrice when she was 24. And losing her would be devastating for him. But Julia's like, well, yeah, but darling, I'm almost Beatrice's age. I'm outliving her. Very close to outliving her. And I'm very healthy, so you don't have to worry about it, right? So, yeah, let's not talk about death. It's kind of weird. Especially here in our orchard. Look at the birds and the trees and the apples. Go, fetch me an apple, Gabriel. Give me the biggest apple you can get, maybe. So, yeah. So, again, she wonders and she asks, Julia asks Gabriel if this is maybe because of Maya, his daughter. And he's like, no. Are you sure? Because, if you want to talk about it, it's okay. She's probably in a very happy place and you shouldn't worry about it, Gabriel. And he tells her, oh, I know she's in a happy place. But no, this has nothing to do with her. I think he's still thinking about the baby, but okay. So then Julia brings up a good point that she had a really rocky relationship with her mom, Sharon, and her mom wasn't. Oops, her mom wasn't the best role model for Julia as to what to look forward to or what to do when you're a mom. She just learned the things that she shouldn't do, right? But other than that, Julia's like, I don't know if I will be a good mother. But Gabriel thinks otherwise. He thinks that she will be a very good and excellent mother because she's loving and she's patient and she's kind, which is like, well, yeah, but still, dude. Anyway, and then Gabriel tells her that, he didn't have the best parents either. His biological parents abandoned him, and yeah, he had a dysfunctional family. So that doesn't mean that he's maybe the best expert about parenthood either, but he's willing to give it a try with her. So, okay, that makes sense. Oh, Jennifer has to go. Okay. No problem. Have a good evening,
Hi,
Jennifer.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back. I'm
Sorry.
talking again to myself.
Yes, bye, Jennifer. Thank you.
So Gabriel is telling her, Julia, that yeah, he understands. He didn't have the best biological parents. They abandoned him. And so he understands why she's worried, but nobody knows exactly how to be a parent. They can figure it out together, right? And Julia
That's
tells
right.
him, well, you're very good with, Quinn, Tammy, and Scott's little boy. She just says Tammy's little boy, but isn't Scott still there? Then it should be Tammy and Scott's little boy. Anyway, so apparently Gabriel is fabulous. He's a really good uncle to baby Quinn. But they've been married for 6 months, as we said before, and she's still working. She's trying to finish her PhD program so she can become a doctor. Professor Julie Ann Emerson. Oh my God, that would be her new name. Okay, so yeah, remember Gabriel? It's still like 5 years to go, so maybe we should wait. And Gabriel tells her that he remembers that he agreed to that. So, oh, okay, well that's good. Good to remember. And married life is an adjustment, especially the first years. For couples, they're just learning what it's like living with someone else. So bringing a baby right away might be a bit too much for newlyweds, especially for Julia. So yeah. Besides, who's gonna help her with the baby once, if she has a baby right away, right?
Yeah.
Like, Catherine Picton is in Toronto. I doubt she's gonna take time from her busy schedule to go and babysit a baby. Rachel is in Pennsylvania, but she's busy with other stuff too, right? And Tammy is with her baby Quinn. Richard is at the university, and her dad, Tom, well, he's still working at the firehouse and at the university too. So this means Julia will be alone again with a baby. I don't know. I think they need more time. Anyway, what Gabriel says, like, look.
They can have more time. I mean, I was saying that Gabriel was expressing that he wants to have a family. He's not saying that he wants it right now, but I agree that he wants to do. I understand that he wants to talk with her about the idea.
Okay.
But I don't think his press is making a pressure. The topic, he's only saying it.
Well, okay. Well, apparently, Keith tells her that, you know, Gabriel tells her that he wants to talk about it in the future, about the baby. And he needs to talk to his doctor. You know, trying to see if
Because
maybe the
he has an
vasectomy could be reversed.
operation and
Yes.
yes, I understand it. And he doesn't know what is going to about his operation.
Yeah, but
So
again,
I will be like him. I mean, if I want to have kids again, I mean, and I have an operation, the correct thing is to talk with the doctor as soon as possible.
okay. Well, I mean, I'm still with Julia. They can discuss about having a baby, yes, a biological baby, but you can also have other procedures, medical procedures that can help you have babies. You know, with artificial insemination, or they can adopt the
Yeah,
kid.
but I understand that he wants to have a baby with her, but you know, not adopted. I mean, I don't say that he doesn't want to adopt, but I understand that he wants to have a baby with, yeah, you know, that the product of both of
A
them.
biological child.
Yeah, biological.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a baby. First of all, oi. Second of all, I think a baby, your child will be your child whether they're your biological child or not. The blood does not really make that much of a
I know,
difference.
but I think it's not the same. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm against adoption or something like that because he has a good opportunity for a child that if he's homeless. But I don't know. If I want a kid, I will always want it as mine. That is my kid. That is it's from me. You know.
Yeah.
Hi, Maru. How are you?
Hi, Maru. Yeah, I think I would rather adopt. That takes more time, and they really, you know, they interview you, and the organizations that have children, you know, that you can adopt, they really want to make sure that you are ready to take on this responsibility. I think sometimes people have children without really realizing the life change, how it's going to affect their lives, and how they're not going to be able to do stuff that they enjoy doing on a normal basis because they just think, oh, we'll have a baby and everything will be fine. They don't think about, you know, you have to take the baby to the doctor, you have to teach the baby how to talk, you have to make sure that your house is, you know, baby proof because babies start walking and crawling and grabbing and putting stuff in their mouths. And, you know, sometimes people who are not ready, mentally ready to have a child later on when they have a child, they regret having a child. And it's kind of sad when that happens. But yeah. So that's why I think adoption is better because you really have to think about it. Do you really want to have a child? And it will take longer, but then you're more conscious of the fact that, you know, you're gonna make a big
Okay.
change in your life and stuff. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. See, the other thing that also makes me think the way I think is, they show me this video once of a lady giving birth, the miracle of life, and it was like, oh, she's pregnant, ultrasound, oh, that's cute, blah blah blah, and then they went to the scene, the moment when she's crowning and she's giving birth, and it was scary as hell. Then after that, I thought, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that ever in my life. I will be fine adopting. So, yeah. Anyway, so, yeah, interesting. So, anyway, so Gabriel tells Julia that he intends taking her to Umbria. Ooh! After the conference and before they go to the exhibition in Florence. Wait, what? We're going to Florence again? Nobody told me we're going. I thought we were going to give the conference in the University of Toronto. I didn't know we were going to go to Italy.
Yeah.
So I guess we have to go shopping. You know, buying stuff. It's Lorenzo there again. PowerPoint.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Anyway. So anyway, so we're going to go back to Europe. But Gabriel says again, he needs to speak to his doctor. So, all right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Speak to your doctor. Yeah, having a baby.
I think it's a good idea, Gabriel.
In 10 years. I think we should write this down like a contract. In 9 years, because we said 10, it's been 6 months. So in 9 years and a half, we will try to have a child. Agreed? Yes. Okay, signature, la 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 la. And there's a contract. Nobody can tell me, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because sometimes you tell Gabriel, someday I would like to do this. And he hears, on Sunday I would like to do this. You know?
Okay.
Communication. Anyway, so Julia agrees. She says, okay. So he pulls her on top of him, and the air, look at that, the air is beautiful, everything is fine with the world, it's well with the world, and Julia tells him, he tells her, when you're ready, we'll start trying. Ooh, okay, 10 years. And Julia says, we should probably practice a lot in preparation. Gabriel, winky. A.K.A. let's make love again. And Gabriel says, absolutely. Right? Insatiable. The woman is insatiable. Remember how she was too busy ignoring him before because she was working on her speech and everything, her presentation? Look at her now, like, Guido, who? I'm ready to make love again. And so, yeah. And that concludes chapter 1. Oh, that's so nice. Chapter 1. It's a good one. Like, oh my god, Gabriel is back and ready to take over the throne. And guess what? He did! He is back to show us why we love him and his love scenes are awesome. The professor, take your crown. We bow down. Twitchy, we're not worthy. But I don't care. Keep going. Make love to me. Maybe. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, this is interesting. I have a feeling maybe this is going to be a bit of a problem with Julia and Gabriel. Not the making love part. It's just the baby part that maybe it might be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So, I have a special opinion about that and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
And this book. But I don't want to say anything to the chapter.
Okay.
Because, oh my god, I'm pro babies.
Okay. And I'm pro waiting.
Okay. And with Gabriel, more. Much more.
Ooh, I wonder if they have a baby 10 years from now, right? Would he have more, like, his mood swings would be more frequent?
What, sorry?
You know, if they decide to have a baby 10 years from now, right? Because that's the timeline I'm giving Gabriel. Like, we're not going to have sex to procreate until, like, 10 years from now or 9. But you know how usually women have mood swings and they have cravings and all of that during their pregnancy. I wonder if Gabriel would get that too, like mood swings and cravings for stuff just like Julia. I mean, Gabriel is mercurial. Can you imagine if he had more frequent mood swings? I don't think the world is ready for that. I don't know if we're ready for that, you know. Sympathetic mood swings, you know, but sympathetic. Some parents, some dads get that when their wives are pregnant. They go through that too. So I don't know if we're ready for that with Gabriel. I'm kind of scared of that. With Gabriel, like, oh, no good. Anyway, so yeah. Maru says, woohoo! Gabriel reloaded. So yeah, Gabriel is back with a vengeance. He wants to make sure we don't forget who's our first. And he reminded us tonight that he is a numero uno, number one. I don't know how to say one in French, but that number. Right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, well,
I don't remember in French. No, I don't remember.
Ooh, no.
I know that number. I know that one is up.
There you go.
Yeah. But I don't remember the word number.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Who's number one? Gabriel. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, and that concludes today's. Yes, and that concludes today's seminar. But don't forget, we will be back. Yes, we will be back next week, March 4th. Again, Sunday, March 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, New York Time. We will go over Chapter 2 of Gabriel's Redemption. We're getting ready for Book 4. Ooh, Gabriel, ta-ta-ta-ta. Oh, that should be the new theme song. Ta-ta-ta-ta. Gabriel, ta-ta-ta-ta. Anyway, so yeah, again, don't forget, we're going to be back with Chapter 2, so send us your favorite quotes, favorite lines. Tell us, what do you think of the chapter? You can find us at Gabriel Sirius FP. Stop by and say hello. And don't forget that the boss is having a chat tonight. Yes, tonight, soon. It will be on Facebook. Is After Dark Reading Facebook group. Join him. Make sure you request the request to join the special group so you can chat with him and say hello. And I'm sure there's going to be a giveaway, so make sure you go and you enter the giveaway. The boss sometimes gives book plates that he autographs, so that's going to be awesome. So if you want one just for you, go and say hello to the boss and all the awesome readers and share your questions and all of that. It's good and it's fun. Okay, and that concludes today's podcast. Again, don't forget, the ladies of the Men in the Black Suit fan podcast are going to be back on Wednesday, February 28th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, New York Time. They're going to go over prologue in Chapter 1 of the Men in the Black Suit. The ladies of Noite San Florencia are going to be back on Saturday, March 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, New York Time, and they're reading O Jugamento de Gabriel. And the ladies of Trilogia Gabriel are back on Saturday. And you can listen to the Florentine series, Noches en Florencia, on iTunes and on Google Play. And you can check all the information on their Twitter account as well. And that's pretty much it. Anything else, partner?
Yes. Oh,
thank you, Maru. She says, Monica says, un, deux, trois, the numbers in French. And then, quatre, yeah, what she said. And Maru says,
man. Repeat.
Okay, go. Wait, what? Quatre. Okay. I try.
Quatre.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. We need to ask Nicholas and Acacia. Yes. Okay, and Maru says, many congrats on the new books, discussions. Thank you, Maru. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Maru.
All right. Okay, and that pretty much concludes our discussion. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you have a lovely week, and take care. We'll see you next weekend. In the meantime, listen to the beautiful song Mango by Bruce Cockburn. Yay! All right, and that concludes our show. Good night.